the Ten Commandment, the tenth commandment, which is you shall not covet, is the only commandment out of the second table of the law, that is the table that applies to our relationship with our neighbor. It's the only one of those commandments that applies exclusively to the heart, and it's one of the unique features of God's law. James tells us that covetousness or intense desire or want for something that causes us to fixate on that thing so that we want it and becomes a soul of focus, it leads to envy, which in the Bible is not the good form of envy which we sometimes use in modern English, by which we basically mean admiration. Sometimes we'll say to somebody, I envy you, meaning I admire you. I admire the gift that you have. But the Bible uses envy in the negative way, which is the resentment and the ill will that toward another person because they have something that we do not have. So James says covetousness, this kind of intense desire and want for something, leads to envy, which leads to all forms of murder. It may be out-and-out violence, but it also may be simply doing something else to want to diminish the life of our neighbor. We want to diminish their good name. We want to diminish their reputation. We want to diminish their happiness. The Bible says all of those are forms of murder. The tenth commandment, interestingly, loops back to the very first commandment, for Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, that covetousness is idolatry. That brings us back around to the first commandment, where God says, you shall have no other gods before me. In other words, you shall not worship as God that which is not God. That is what idolatry is. Well, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it gives us some insight into the key role that covetousness plays and why Paul would tell us in his epistles that covetousness should not even be named. Not even a hint of covetousness should be named among Christians. Hebrews 13, 5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For God himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we see here that the opposite of covetousness is contentment. And if we apply Paul's principle from Romans, that the way to not be overcome with evil is to go on offense and overcome evil with good, then we know the way to avoid covetousness is to engender and to affirmatively seek contentment. And then it is, connected with that is a promise from the Old Testament, I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, this is a promise that God gave both in Deuteronomy and in Joshua when the people were about to enter the land. And of course, the land of Canaan really is a picture of the entire earth in the New Testament period. You have very similar language used when Jesus gives the Great Commission to his disciples. Instead of just setting the land of Canaan before them, he's setting the whole earth before them, all the nations, and saying, you go get them, bring them into the kingdom of God, bring them to faith, put my name upon them in baptism, teach them to obey all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you. There's the promise. I am with you even to the end of the age. That is the promise from the Old Testament that is cited here with regard to covetousness versus contentment. The reason why Christians are called upon to be content as opposed to covetous is because God has issued us a promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, so contentment is the opposite of covetousness. Notice, contentment is not the opposite of wealth. Psalm 112 and verse 1, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. And it goes on to list his characteristics, one of which is wealth and riches will be in his house. Now, this is not a health and wealth gospel. It's not a mechanistic thing. It's not an automatic guarantee. But God's blessing trends in this direction. So contentment, we often assume to be passive. We assume that a content person is a very passive person who doesn't have any wealth. But that would be mistaken on both counts. Contentment is the fruit of faith, not of complacency. Contentment is the fruit of faith, not complacency. Whereas covetousness goes along very well with laziness. Proverbs 21 and verse 25, the desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long. So the lazy man doesn't have anything because he won't work, but he's filled with covetousness. He's filled with desires, filled with covetousness. He wants, wants, wants. He fixates on things. He worships the objects of his desire. And he's an idolater. So the issue is faith and worship on the one hand versus unbelief and idolatry on the other. The key to all of this is what James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 17. He says, look, here's the key to life, and it's something you need to get, young people. Every good thing in this life, every perfect gift, is from one place. It's from above. It's from the Father of lights. And it has one characteristic to it in terms of its nature. It's a gift. Now, God may give it to you by blessing your work. Okay? That's the way He prefers to give to us as we come to maturity. This is His way of growing us up. But we must never be deceived into thinking that we independently have obtained this wealth. God warns about that in Deuteronomy. He says, you're going to be tempted to think that when I bless you and I give to you, instead of giving to you directly, like with manna, I give to you by blessing your work. You're going to be tempted to forget me. You're going to be tempted to think that you yourself have done this rather than understanding that I have blessed you by giving you the power to get wealth. Every good thing that you can have in your life, it is either given to you by God and therefore it is a blessing, or it is not and it's not a blessing. That's why the Bible teaches that there is a kind of person who is wealthy and who has all kinds of things and yet is impoverished. It's like having all kinds of the best foods in the world and having no taste buds. That's what happens when it does not come to us as the gift of God. Faith connects the gift, every good thing, with the giver, God. That leads to contentment. Contentment is a form of faith. It is active. It is affirmative. It doesn't sit around. It's not lazy. All right? It's very active and forward-looking. It's resting on God because it's always making the connection between every good thing and God the giver. Unbelief separates the gift from the giver. That leads to covetousness, burning desire for what you don't have, burning desire for what God hasn't given you. And then you begin to look around and you begin to resent other people. Because everything becomes horizontal at that point. You forget the integral vertical dimension of everything in life. Now you're looking around at other people and you're resenting them for having things that you don't have. Then wealth and these other things becomes an end in itself, and that makes it an idol. It's interesting. If you have a people that are becoming a covetous people and an envious people, you are looking at a people that is moving collectively towards slavery. If you have a people that their politics and their principles of government are fueled by appeals to and stoking covetousness and envy, you are looking at a people that are moving toward tyranny, and slavery. It's interesting that in Exodus chapter 18, when Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, gives him some very wise and godly advice, because Moses was judging all the cases, and Jethro's going to say, this is never going to work. You need to delegate leadership and judgment out to godly and wise men, and then you reserve only the toughest cases for yourself to work their way up. He says you need to select the right men, though. And one of the qualifications for these leaders of the people is that they hate covetousness. Now, Paul has already said that for Christians, covetousness should not even, there shouldn't be a whiff of it in our lives anywhere. But when it comes to leaders, it's not enough that they're not covetous. They should hate covetousness. Hate it, because they know what it does. It enslaves people, and they know it. And so the leaders hate it. Now you're looking at a people that are moving toward freedom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.